The Show Goes On by Hazel. Read by Hananobira
and Paraka.
Why so gloomy, man? Kaner asks. Fuck off, Johnny replies. It's not even time for his mid-morning coffee, and he's hungover. Man, Kaner says, before wandering off to harass Simon. Johnny blinks down at his pile of renewals and tries to bring the tiny numbers back into focus. When he next looks up, there's a bottle of water with a post-it note saying, "Drink me," and two white pills on a note saying, "Eat me," and Kaner's ass is disappearing around a corner. Johnny shrugs and tosses back the pills.
Johnny fucking hates data entry. Like, fucking hates it. The pay shit, the office culture is shit, the office coffee maker is shit. And he spends all day entering insurance payment details into the ancient DOS system. People don't pay their bills, and then he has to send out form letters. People write to complain about how they totally paid their bills, and he has to establish whether they're lying or not. At least it's home and content insurance instead of medical insurance. He's got friends who do that, and it's the fucking worst. And like his parents keep telling him, a job's a job. The economy is for shit. At least he's making payments on his student loans and can afford a room in a decent apartment with only two roommates. His life could be a lot shittier. He could be in grad school. But Jesus Christ, when manually entering payment details of checks received is the most exciting part of his working life, there's something gone terribly wrong. Terribly, terribly wrong.
Got over your hangover yet, asshole? Kaner asks at lunch. Cheerfully enough for someone who's wearing yesterday's shirt and last Friday's tie, knotted loosely 3 inches below where it should sit. Johnny would never get away with that shit. But that's Kaner all over. Sloppily dressed and friends with everyone. Johnny would bitch about it more, but it's working in his favor. The head of accounts grinned at him sympathetically when he got his third coffee of the morning, told him he'd heard they'd had a big night out, and told him he'd heard good things about Johnny's ability to forensically excavate policyholders' payments. Ugh, Johnny replies. That would be a no, Kaner says. If I'd known you were such a lightweight. Fuck off, Johnny says. I am not. You're just... I don't even know what you are. Yeah, yeah, Kaner says. Bar after work? Johnny sighs. Yeah, sure. But we're not staying out late this time. Of course not, Kaner says. It's a weeknight. That's what Kaner said last night, too. Johnny should really know better by now.
It's a shit show drinking with Kaner. But that's because it's always a shit show drinking with Kaner. And if Johnny's going to have to live with dumbass roommates and work with idiots, he's going to at least have fun. There's just the two of them, Simon and Pete home with wives, Grace with her steady, Jake begging off on the grounds that his head's not having yet recovered from last night's vodka. And that's good, because it's way easier for Johnny to concentrate on Kaner's drunken recap of last night's episode of Teen Wolf when Jake isn't drooling on the table about some hot chick who won't give him the time of day. Jake's really into girls who won't give him the time of day. And Johnny's fucking sick of hearing about it when he could be listening to Kaner talk about, like, the abs of some guy on TV. Whatever. It's also fucking terrible, because he and Kaner have been kicked out of 6 bars and counting for banging in the bathrooms. And one of these days, they're going to get arrested. Johnny doesn't want to have to explain any more alcohol-related arrests to his mom. Johnny drinks his vodka. Kaner gets up and shuffles in the direction of the bathrooms. Johnny makes sure they haven't left anything important on the table and stands up to follow him. But the bartender catches his eyes and shakes his head at him. Shit. That means they've probably been kicked out of this place already. And Johnny can't even remember. That makes 7. Where are you? Kaner texts a few minutes later. Busted, Johnny replies gloomily. Not by the cops, he thinks to add a second later. Just the bartender. Well, shit, Kaner replies, and he comes out a minute or so later. He totally knew why I was following you, Johnny complains as they get their coats from coat check. Huh, Kaner says. I can't even remember. Me neither, Johnny says. They wander out into the night. It's still early, not even 10 p.m. In that way that happens when you start at 5:30 and there's bunches of sharply dressed bright young things congregating on the sidewalks and talking loudly about how hard they pre-gamed. Johnny hasn't fucking pre-gamed in years. That's what happens when you always start drinking right after work in a sports bar, surrounded by people you've already spent 8 hours with. So much for that, Kaner says, and Johnny glances over. What? He says. Semi-public sex with my regular fuck, Kaner says. I was looking forward to that all day. Johnny chokes on his breath. He says. Like you're not, Kaner says, like it's easy. And maybe it is. Well, Johnny says, scratching the back of his neck. We could go back to my place? Like, I have roommates, but... Kaner grins at him. And thin walls, right? Yeah, it's fucking gross listening to Steve bang his girlfriend all the damn time, Johnny says absently. Then he looks at Kaner and remembers the time they got caught screwing in the bathrooms of a gay bar by this old dude, and how he came down Kaner's throat when the dude eyed them up and down and said, nice. How he didn't even notice slamming his head back against the cubicle wall. It was that fucking hot. Kaner's looking back at him, like he's remembering the same night. Yeah, they're real thin, Johnny says. And I'm pretty sure Steve's girlfriend is staying over tonight. Fucking A, Kaner replies. Lead on, McDuff.
Johnny's room is big and messy, piles of clothes lying in drifts across the carpet, and his laptop surrounded by empty coffee mugs and takeout cartons. But his bed gets neatly made almost every morning. He likes sliding into smooth sheets at night. And it's tidy now, with hospital corners and a plaid blanket. He barely manages to pull back the covers before Kaner's on him, pushing him down and climbing on top. They kiss for so long, Johnny almost forgets they're supposed to be getting revenge on his roommates. Johnny thinks he could almost come like this, just grinding up against Kaner's dick while Kaner kisses him. Except that Kaner's shirt is fucking ugly, and Johnny wants to take it off him. He grabs hold of Kaner's tie and tugs, just enough that Kaner stops kissing him. Yeah, Kaner says, kind of hazily, and sits back. Johnny follows him, and they kiss in between taking off their shirts and ties. Kaner stands up to take off his pants. Johnny shuffles to the end of the bed so he can work on Kaner's belt. He's never seen Kaner's junk in such good lighting, and he's kind of looking forward to it. Fuck, you're hot, Kaner says, when Johnny stands to take off his own pants. And they kiss a little more, sloppy and wet, until Johnny spins them so he can press Kaner into his sheets. He gets the angle wrong, just enough to wrench his bad leg, and has to stop for a second to breathe through the pain. You okay? Kaner asks, the beginnings of concern on his face. Yeah, Johnny says shortly. Knee. Oh, yeah, Kaner says. Easy as anything, and doesn't ask questions. Before that, Johnny wasn't sure Kaner knew who he used to be. He is now. It doesn't stop him from kissing Kaner again, once he's found what seems like a solid position. Kaner kisses back, then breaks it to gasp. Got lube and condoms? And groans loudly when Johnny nods into his neck. They end up with Johnny flat on his back and Kaner shoving down onto his dick, one hand braced against the wall Johnny shares with Steve's room. The headboard is thumping and the bed springs are squeaking, just loud enough to make a difference in how hard Johnny's thrusting upwards. Kaner lets out a particularly loud moan, and the hammering from the other side of the wall begins. Johnny's pretty sure Steve, or maybe Natalie, is yelling something, but he can't make it out. Too busy staring up at Kaner grinning down at him. Too busy pushing up and letting himself get loud. Steve and Natalie start up as Kaner's rolling off Johnny to faceplant in his sheets. Fuck, Kaner mumbles, half muffled in the pillows. That was hot. Yeah, Johnny agrees. You want me to go? Kaner asks a couple of minutes later. Nah, Johnny says. We're going to the same place tomorrow anyway, I guess. Cool, Kaner says. They manage to kick the blankets up over themselves without either of them really having to move, which is a pretty good end to a good night. And Johnny falls asleep like that. Kaner inches away, and not touching him anywhere.
You guys are fucking assholes, Adam says the next morning, when everybody's moving around the apartment trying to get ready for work. Yeah, Jesus, Steve agrees. He's planted himself at the table, eating toast and drinking coffee, while Natalie fumbles through doing up the 15 buckles on her boots. Ha, Adam says, I was talking to you too, dickhead. Adam's problem is that he can't get laid. Or, at least, that he can't get laid by anyone as hot as Kaner or Natalie. Or, if he does, they never stick around for breakfast. Kaner, on the other hand, is unashamedly sitting in Johnny's kitchen, eating Johnny's Pop-Tarts, and scowling at the breakfast show on TV. He's borrowed one of Johnny's shirts. It looks fucking awful. And a tie, not bad. And is wearing the same pinstriped pants he's been wearing since Tuesday. So, fuck off, Johnny says. And it's easy.
Kaner starts borrowing Johnny's ties and not returning them, which ends with Johnny clutching a fistful of them as Kaner sucks him off, right in the middle of Kaner's dire studio apartment. Johnny stops complaining about it after that. Just grabs them off Kaner's floor when he goes over. Grace notices and tells everyone, and they get mocked for it over Friday night drinks, sitting around a table in the sports bar while the Blackhawks play the Leafs. Johnny has his back to the TV. So does Kaner. And they don't look at each other when the announcer gushes over Sharp's goal. Sharing clothes now, boys? Grace asks while a Chevy ad plays. Johnny tenses, but Kaner just shrugs. So? He asks. She grins. Nothing. It's just so cute. Yeah, well, Johnny says. Nobody cares who I sleep with. Kaner carefully strokes two fingers across Johnny's wrist. And just like that, they're holding hands. Nobody's watching them.
Johnny watched Kaner get named the OHL Rookie of the Year 4 summers ago, arm in a cast and looking uneasy on stage. Even then, there were rumors that it was bad, maybe career-ending. Rumors even Johnny had heard from his mom's couch in Winnipeg, riding a wave of painkillers and beer and pissed off about his crutches. It was a surprise when Kaner showed up at the office one Monday morning, dressed in a skinny tie and a checked shirt, shoes scuffed and pants loose around his ass like he'd lost weight. All Kaner seemed to do all day is bounce around listening to Sean Kingston on his iPod while opening the mail with a viciously sharp letter opener. And for that, he earned just enough to keep himself in Doritos and beer. Johnny's job could be called career track. If the career you were going for was in insurance, and you didn't have any great ambitions. He's not that happy in the industry, but it's as good as any of his other options. And he's even managing to save some money. For what? He doesn't know. Rent for his own place, maybe, or a better car. Maybe in a year or so, he'll start looking for something better. Try to get at least his own cubicle and a little more money. But it's cool for now, hanging out with Kaner and Grace and Jake all day, having stupid conversations about football in between all the data entry. If he hates what he sees in the mirror each morning, that's okay. It's not as bad as it used to be. And it's good having Kaner around, even if he couldn't make eye contact for that first month, and didn't manage a sentence until Kaner bullied him into coming to work drinks and then poured vodka down his throat until 3 a.m. They got into a fight about the Oilers' power play, drunk off their asses and an inch away from being thrown out of the bar. And then Kaner cracked up, leaned heavily against the bar and said, "You're such a fucking random," like it pleased him. They were friends for the next few months, right up until Kaner tilted his chin over a beer and then made his way to the bathrooms. And Johnny shrugged and followed. Now they're having competitive sex against the walls of Johnny's bedroom. And Johnny's just glad he hasn't yet had to voice exactly why he never goes to his knees for Kaner.
The rink's not technically open, but Kaner knows the guy who drives the Zamboni, and they get in for an hour just after the rink closes to the public. They've both got gear, and it's an uneasy kind of habit not to watch Kaner as he changes into it. Johnny's skating is better than he expects. It's been more than a year since he last got a stick into his hands. He tried playing in a beer league for a while, but the whole thing was frustrating as fuck. Not close enough to the real thing to be a reminder. Playing with Kaner is better than that. Kaner's fast, turning like there's a rocket on his heels and bouncing the puck around like it's a bomb. "I was being scouted by the Hawks," Kaner says, when he's up by one and they're taking a breather. "I mean, when I fucked up my wrist." There isn't much to say to that. "Yeah," is all Johnny can come up with. "It seems okay, though?" he asks, even though he's sure it isn't. If it was, Kaner wouldn't be here. Kaner grimaces and shakes his head. "It's unreliable," he says. "Does it really hurt much? But it wouldn't survive a season." Then he's off, chasing the puck across the rink, and Johnny picks up his stick and follows. There's a moment when Kaner grabs the puck from him and gets halfway down the rink before Johnny gets it together, and Johnny wants desperately to check him. But that's not the game they're playing here. So he settles for kissing Kaner hard up against the boards. The Zamboni guy kicks them off the ice eventually. "You guys are good," he says as they're clearing out. "Ever think of playing for real?" Kaner freezes, biting his lip. But it's easier than Johnny expects for him to say, "Tried it. Didn't work out. And it hurts less than usual." "Sucks," the guy says sympathetically. "Hey, Kaner, let me know if you guys want to do this again. Wouldn't it be a problem once or twice a month?" Kaner looks at Johnny then, and Johnny nods. Just a little. "Sure," Kaner says. "Thanks, man."
Johnny's boss quits suddenly to follow her girlfriend across the continent, and the accounts manager comes downstairs to tell Johnny to put in his resume. The company likes hiring from within. He gets the job, $10,000 more a year, and another thing stopping him from having to think about what he really wants to do with the rest of his life. Grace and the guys take him and Kaner out for drinks. A last hurrah before Johnny enters lower management and can't hang out with them anymore. "You going to ride us hard?" Jake asks, sometime around 8 p.m., when Pete's beginning to look like it's time to get home to the wife, and Kaner's yawning around his fries. "Drink your beer," Johnny replies, because he doesn't know yet, and wouldn't tell them if he did. "Aye, aye, Captain," Grace teases. Johnny smirks, orders another round, and is surprised to find that it doesn't sting. Everyone clears off soon after that, and Johnny and Kaner walk a couple of blocks to a late-night hipster cafe that does amazing cheesecake. They share a piece of caramel chocolate almond and half-heartedly kick at each other's feet, sitting on high stools at 9:30, while people talk Kafka around them. Johnny's really fucking grateful Kaner isn't going to be in his chain of command, so they can keep doing this.
Management is way less miserable than Johnny expected. He basically spends his days writing reports, dealing with the complicated and therefore interesting premium disputes, and occasionally trying to mold his team into a pack of data entry superstars. He kind of misses getting to joke around with the rest of the team, right up until he has to ask Pete why he's been late 3 days in a row and give him a warning when the reason turns out to be bullshit. The need for distance is clear enough after that. Kaner's still chilling out in the mailroom, moving through the greatest hits of the noughties and borrowing Johnny's ties. He's amassed a great collection of staplers and letter openers, all arranged around the mail desk, and he made a rainbow out of the post-it notes on the cupboard doors. He's obviously bored shitless, though, and Johnny finds himself making increasingly transparent excuses, even if he doesn't ever have to say them out loud, to visit him, wandering by to ask if he has an extra pair of scissors or if he's made up his mind about kebabs or sandwiches for lunch. That's not a problem until it is, when Johnny's boss calls him in to give a speech about keeping his personal life out of the office. The company's not concerned that they're not doing their jobs. The speech would be different then, but it's clearly a warning. Johnny tells Kaner about it that night over dinner, mac and cheese at Kaner's place. Kaner shrugs. "Maya talked to me about it a couple of weeks ago. I guess I should probably start looking for another job." "They're trying to make you quit?" Johnny asks. That's not the impression he got at all, but maybe things look different from where Kaner stands. Kaner shrugs again. "I don't think so, but, I mean, we're serious, aren't we?" He waits for Johnny to nod. Johnny does, and he keeps talking. "It's just a job, man. I don't need the drama. There's other stuff around." Johnny nods. "You got any idea what you want to do?" he asks, curious. Kaner stares at him. "Hockey," he says flatly. Johnny winces. "Sorry, stupid question," he says. Kaner quirks his mouth. "You're pretty much the only person I can say that to without them freaking out, you know?" "Yeah," Johnny says. He knows. He pushes noodles around his plate for a minute, thinking. "Any other ideas?" "Not a fucking clue," Kaner says. Like he said it a million times, almost cheerful with it. That's probably because Johnny hasn't asked a million times yet, and he doesn't plan to. "Well," Johnny says finally, "I can't afford to keep you, man." Kaner cracks a grin at that, smiles down at his plate, and it's almost like he's just some guy Johnny just met at work one day. Almost like there's not a million could-have-beens between them. "I'll think about it," Kaner promises, looking up. And Johnny will take it.
They go out on a date after Kaner quits. He's got a new job already. Same shit, really, but a different office. One where he has purchasing power over the stationery cabinet, and nobody expects him to wear a tie. It's their anniversary or something, and if either of them were the type to pay close attention to the calendar, they'd maybe be doing more than just getting tie and heading out for a walk afterwards. They end up holding hands as they walk, casual as anything, and nobody blinks twice. It's something Johnny never thought he'd get to have, at least not with a guy. And that's a strange thought, that something good has come out of the wreckage of his life. They could be anyone. They are anyone. Just two regular guys walking down the street. He grins at Kaner the next time Kaner speaks, something rude about the NBC commentators, and Kaner grins back at him, uncomplicated. A block later, Kaner pulls him into an alley and shoves him against the bricks, leans up and kisses him hard while shoving his hand down the back of Johnny's pants. "Huh," Johnny says when they pause to breathe. "They haven't fucked in public for months now." "What?" Kaner retorts. "Can't a guy give his guy a blowjob on the street?" "No, hey," Johnny says, "I'm not stopping you." He kind of wants to spin them around, pin Kaner's wrist high above his head, and bite at his neck for a while. But bad idea. Except for the spinning and the biting, which he does. And Kaner makes fucking hot noises when Johnny gets his hand up Kaner's shirt and presses his fingers into the muscles of his back. "You're not letting me either," Kaner grumbles eventually, and Johnny's just about to let himself be spun around again when they're interrupted by someone in the opening of the alleyway clearing their throat loudly. "Hey," the woman hollers, "there are kids around. Get a fucking room." "Fuck off," Johnny starts, but Kaner stopped grinding against Johnny's thigh and is laughing into his neck instead. The mood's gone, so they may as well go home.
Johnny's roommates are all out, so Kaner ends up blowing him on the couch while some hack talks about Luongo. Kaner pulls off well before Johnny's ready to come and sits back, wiping his mouth off with the back of his hand and staring up at Johnny. Johnny says, "What?" "We should fuck," Kaner says. "Like, in your room. Without the TV on." "Okay," Johnny says, because he still gets weird about hockey, too. The apartment's silent when he's balls deep in Kaner. Nothing to hear except them. The bed thumping against the wall, and Kaner making hitching little sounds like he doesn't want to be heard. It's good. Really good. And Kaner's really into it, too. Scratching his ragged nails down Johnny's back and leaning up to bite at his lips every few thrusts or so. Afterwards, Kaner won't let him pull out until he's gone completely soft. Even then, he clings for a while, tangling his limbs around Johnny and making little snuffling noises into his skin. I'm glad I get to have this," Kaner says quietly, like it's a secret. "Me too," Johnny replies, just as quietly. "And maybe it is."
They're sitting on the couch in Kaner's shitty apartment watching the Leafs lose. Kaner's starting classes soon, just some college prep thing he'll do in the evenings. And they found a beer league team mostly made up of gay dudes who don't blink twice when they arrive and leave together. Nobody says anything, but Johnny thinks he'll be moving in soon. It's a good thing they've got going on, and he's happy. "We wouldn't have this if we were playing in the NHL, Kaner says as he switches off the TV so they can go to bed. Johnny isn't sure which of them looks away first.
The end. Reader's notes. If you'd like to read this fic online, you can find it at archiveofourown.org/works/646837. If you'd like to download the podfic, you can find it at
paticaproductions.com
or my Hananobira's Dreamwidth. Thanks for listening.
Bye.